If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
Now, there's a lot of conferences out there that talk about how to get your first deal. There's really nothing out there that talks about once you have your deal, how do you run that?
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Gary Lipsky is a managing partner of APT Capital Group, which buys opportunistic value-add B and C-class properties. He's been a real estate investor since 2002 and has invested in over 1,900 units with $41 million in assets under management. Gary hosts three meetup groups, educational webinars, and co-hosts the Asset Management Mastery podcast. Gary, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Oh, this is great, man. This is great. Can you get the same questions I ask everybody who comes on? Where'd you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll jump in. So really, I started, my first investment was my personal house and no money down. It was a value add play. And I didn't know those terms at that time, but we're just finding something that we can live in a decent neighborhood. And we opened it up quite a bit, converted the garage. And that really, I didn't know then that was my start to multifamily, knowing how to do renovations, working with contractors, looking at real estate as an opportunity and not something like I'm going to own forever. And so that was my start way back when. And there was a long pause in between, but it seeing the value increased dramatically really got me excited about investing in real estate.
Gotcha. So you did your first value add in your house, and you said there was a long pause in between that and when you actually really, really went full bore into real estate.
Yeah. Yeah. So then, maybe around 2013, I had moved up into a nicer neighborhood. Again, another value add play. And so I turned our house into a rental and moved literally block and a half down the street, and again did really well. And at that point, I sold that a few years later. I also sold a business and got into multifamily full time at the end of 2016. But I didn't buy my first property until just about 2 years ago. It was a 42 unit, and now we're actually in escrow. We're about a month away from selling it, from going full cycle.
I gotcha. So you had a 42 unit, but in the last 2 years, you've acquired 1,900 doors. Is that right?
So some of that is investing passively too, but we've done four properties.
Okay.
In the last just under 2 years.
Wow, that's cool. That's very cool. And is this what you do full time now?
Yeah, absolutely. A little over 4 years, I've been doing this full time.
Right, right, right. That's really cool. How have you determined what your buy box is?
You know, we want to be over 80 units or more, although obviously the first one was, to get us started. 80 units or more, value add, B and C class. And we love Phoenix and Tucson. We love the job growth, the job diversity, the population growth, the rent growth. So we're focusing on that market. We're not the syndicators that focus all over the country. We want to be experts in a few select markets.
Right, right. I gotcha. Okay. So you picked Phoenix and Tucson. What were some of the things? I know you said job growth overall. Is it just that you've been there a bunch and you can actually see it? Or is it that you were able to dig in on some sort of data and say, okay, there are things happening in these particular markets that I really like?
Yeah. We dug into the data and there's a lot of other markets that we like, DFW, Southeast Corridor, but it's just, part of it also was harder to get there. And, Phoenix, we can drive or fly, same with Tucson. So we could just be more competitive there and we love the market. So we decided to focus on those markets specifically.
Why B and, I guess not so much B. I think most multifamily investors understand why B. But why C? Why have you elected to go to the C-class properties?
Cost of entry, quite honestly. So, and that can range in price. I mean, we bought our 42 unit, it was like $39 a door. And now, that's, since gone up tremendously. We bought our Phoenix C class for about 118 a door. So again, depending upon market, but everyone needs housing, you know, and it's sometimes when you buy these properties, you're going to have to re-tenant a little bit. You know, maybe you have too much Section 8, whatever it is. But once you establish a good rental base, you know, most of these people can afford to pay this rent. Even when COVID hit, our Tucson properties had no problem. Our Phoenix property had a little bit more delinquency. But in general, the cost of living is cheap there. And so they can afford to pay the rent. And so it's your best risk-averse investment out there.
Right. Yeah, certainly when you get into the lower cost housing, I mean, I think it comes as a double-edged sword, I would imagine. I mean, because we, you know, those are the jobs that get laid off first, but yet at the same time, they're also the ones that come back the quickest. And, you know, it's the lowest barrier to entry as far as housing price points go. What's a trick that you've learned in management that allows you to own a C-class property without having a lot of the potential side effects of, or, you know, I guess strings that are attached to, you know, two C-class properties?
Strings attached as far as?
Yeah, I mean, as far as either, you know, we talked a little bit about rent payments, but also just maintenance, or when it comes to crime, or to just some of the things that tend to be more of those, you know, fall in more of those asset classes. Like, what are some things you guys do to mitigate that?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You've got to invest in the property. And so, you know, if the property doesn't have gates, do you purchase gates? We sometimes purchase cameras. You want to set a tone right from the beginning too. A property we took over end of December, all the tenants were used to paying rent like the third week, which was absurd. You know, no late fees. They could do whatever they want. And we gave them a break the first month and kind of retrained them. And then by the second month, they were doing significantly better. And then, you know, March is even better. And so you really got to set the tone. And if someone is, you're not obeying by the rules, get them out, you know. Whether COVID is a little harder, but if people are causing problems, you could still get them out even during COVID. Yeah, you can't let people get away with it. So you've got to enforce the rules. And there's a lot of property management companies that don't enforce the rules. So you've got to be hands-on from an asset management standpoint.
Gotcha. What are some things that you've done that have helped you to scale here in the last couple of years?
Building a thought leadership platform really helps. So we have our podcast. We host the Asset Management Summit, our meetup. It helps get more awareness so that we can, you know, do our deals, raise more capital, get more credibility. You know, if we're looking for partners or other people are looking for partners, you know, real estate is a team sport. And so being out there really helps. And, you know, for anyone new out there, you don't need to be an expert, you know, just, you know, start a podcast, ask a lot of questions, whatever it is, leverage other people's skills and have them on. And it's a great way to get out there, to get comfortable talking about real estate and real estate investing. So I would definitely recommend that.
Right. What is the Asset Management Summit? What's that all about?
Yeah, we had over 1,800 registrants for our event in September 2020. We're doing it again, June 21st to June 27th. We'll have Tom Wheelwright talk about taxes, about 15, 20 speakers talking about all different facets of asset management. And there's a lot of conferences out there that talk about how to get your first deal. There's really nothing out there that talks about once you have your deal, how do you run that? And that's what we talk about.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's an overlooked segment of our industry. I think I had a gentleman on last week, and I'm drawing a blank, at least we recorded it last week. I'm drawing a blank on his name, but he came on last week, and that he is an asset manager for their company. And we really got to dive into what does an asset manager do? And even I came away from that, and I'm like, there's a lot more to this than I would have, you know, really given this much thought about. So good for you guys for launching that. What was that like growing that to a point to where you actually knew, like at what point did you know that you could take your knowledge in asset management and actually turn it into a summit?
Again, you know, we had a good base of knowledge just from doing our own deals. And I've been running businesses my whole life, and running a property is just like running a business. But I also leveraged other people's expertise as well. You know, I brought on, you know, top lawyers, you know, CPAs, syndicators and had them share their expertise as well. So, you know, I stuck into with my box and I let them, you know, stay within their box as well, you know?
Gotcha. That's fascinating. That's fascinating. That is really cool. So rewinding a few years, what are some things maybe that you would have done differently that maybe could have sped up your progress?
I should have been, you know, building out my thought leadership platform earlier. It could have been as simple as a monthly newsletter or bi-monthly newsletter. And I was hesitant to do that in the beginning when I didn't have a deal, when I hadn't done anything. And to any newbie out there, I say, you know, screw that. It doesn't matter. You've got to be educating people on what you're doing, what you're interested in, because when you have a deal, you'll be ready to go and we'll have investors. And it takes, some people will invest in a month. Sometimes it'll take 2 years to groom, to educate, you know, whatever, but you've got to start building that from the very beginning.
Yeah. And that's something we were talking about. I was having an online discussion with somebody the other day, and they said, which one do you focus on first, capital or the deal? You know, and then of course he, you know, posted and said, you know, support your argument, you know, one way or the other. And it was just interesting to see all of the different replies come through. I think hands down, everyone said in the end, like, focus on raising capital, which I think that goes into, of course, what you're talking about, building out your knowledge base and really just sharing what you know with the world, whether or not you've done a deal. You can still learn a lot about this and share. Yeah, that was overwhelming. The reply was like, focus on the capital, because the deal with no capital is still no deal. So it, you know, that's interesting. So you've invested passively. Did you use your passive investors, your passive investments personally? Did you use those as a kind of training ground for what you're doing?
Exactly. Yeah. I used my retirement funds. I invested in a couple other people's deals and saw what people were doing right. I saw what people were doing wrong. I invested as a KP, which kind of gave me, helped me get my first deal too, because I had done a loan with Fannie Mae. And so it was just, it was made a lot easier. And I was able to see, you know, more behind the scenes as a KP, which, you know, for new listeners out there, it means just signing on the loan. And there is some risk involved in that, but you want to vet the sponsors and vet the deal, you know, before you sign on any loan.
Right, right. So you got a front row seat to how it's done, learning from somebody else's knowledge by coming on as a key principal in the deal.
Yeah.
Why did you join as a key principal? I mean, obviously there's benefits to you on the learning side, but what was the other compelling reason for coming on as a principal in the project?
Well, that was a big reason. Also, I had sold a business previously, and I had some capital I needed to start earning some money for me. So that was just kind of a win-win.
Got it. Right. So you had sponsors in need of capital, and you said, hey, look, I can come on as a principal and not just a passive investor, but I can come on and learn from you guys along the way. That's really cool. And I would think that you're going to have to, if somebody's listening to this and curious how that might work, you'd have to have to be able to write a big enough check to, you know, be brought on to the general partnership team that.
Yeah, they didn't ask for a lot. You know, sometimes, you know, based on these loans, they might need to put in $500,000 or whatever. Certainly, I didn't put in nearly that amount, but some people need maybe a little bit of net worth, or a little liquidity, whatever it is, you can help them out. You're not going to get paid for that as a key principal, but it gave me a learning opportunity and a viable investment opportunity as well.
Right, right. No, that's super cool. That's super cool. So what does the future look like for you guys going forward? What do you want your company to look like?
Well, we're looking to do more and bigger deals. We've done two in the last 60 days. And, wow. You know, we want to be taking down 4 or 5 deals a year and continue to grow and scale up. You know, we're developing more and more relationships with brokers, with investors, and we're on a nice trajectory.
Yeah, two deals in the last 60 days is pretty strong. That's pretty strong. What are some obstacles you see looming on the horizon to your growth?
You come up with solutions. I mean, we didn't do a deal for 13 months between our second deal and our third deal.
Wow.
During COVID, just couldn't get a deal done. And we just, you know, put our heads down and kept grinding and doing work. And so when we found a good deal, we were able to bang out two, like I said, 2 in 2 months because of all the work that we've done. So you know, whatever obstacles are there, you just keep pushing forward and grinding away. And, you know, you'll, if you're consistent and work hard, you'll be successful no matter what.
Right. No, that's great. That's absolutely great. Good for you guys. Hey, let's jump here into the final four. What is one piece of advice you would give to an aspiring investor?
Keep learning. No matter how long you've been in this game, keep learning.
I like that. I like that for sure. What is one thing you are currently doing to stay on top of your game?
keep learning. I don't care if it's from a newbie or someone that's, you know, been in this game forever. There's tidbits everywhere. Podcasts, conferences, meetups. Someone's doing something different, and it may be something that you should be trying.
Right, right. Absolutely right. When it comes to investing in the world, what is one thing you are doing to make the world a better place?
I started a nonprofit, it was 2006, Core Educational Service based in LA, and we do some hunger prevention programs, outdoor education. And so I continue to work with that, and it's been super rewarding.
Right. No, that's super cool. That's super cool. Gary, if the listeners want to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
Yeah, definitely connect with me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. My email is glipsky, L-I-P-S-K-Y, at aptcapitalgroup.com. And if people were interested in signing up for the Asset Management Summit, they can go to amsummit2021.com.
Awesome. Gary, thanks so much for your time today. I certainly do appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen. If you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.